Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to honor you. Honor you, my dad and my king. We honor you, King Jesus. We welcome you into this atmosphere. Thank you, Father, that the very substance of heaven is just beginning to fill. Fill the substance of our beings, Lord. Fill every atom in here, God. We welcome you, Lord. We welcome you into this land. We welcome you into this nation, Lord. And I just thank you for what you're imparting and infusing into us tonight, Lord. I thank you for what you're releasing into this land. We welcome your presence, Lord. We honor your presence. We value you, Lord, the person of who you are. Yeah, thanks, Lord. It really is so great to be here. And I love Australia and I love you guys. I lived in Sydney for a couple of years and I lived in quite a few other nations too. Australia is very, very dear to my heart, and I'm often here, even when I'm back in the UK, I'm often here in the spirit and just holding the nation in my heart. I've been engaging the angel over your nation as well, and just been seeing some really cool stuff for what he's wanting to bring. What was set and laid out in worship tonight was really special, really significant. The way everyone's hearts were just postured in humility, welcoming the King of Glory. That's really precious. Just feels like a divine appointment tonight. A divine appointment for the nation and a divine appointment for you guys. Because it's not by chance that you're here. You've been handpicked by heaven. You've been lured into the depths of his love. Prepare to be hijacked. So yeah, I just want to set out an invitation. An invitation into the cloud. Because there's been a bit of dismantling and destructuring and rearranging in and through the body. Well, what we call the body, what we're seeing around us in the natural, it's not his heavenly body, because his heavenly body is one and it's whole and it's beautiful. But what we've perceived the body to be on the earth is really being dismantled and rearranged, realigned. Some of it started to look a bit messy, but it's okay. God's reframing things because he's wanting a heavenly body that is established on the earth. Which, like just recently, I've been calling the cloud community. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, he wants to catch us away to meet him in the clouds, to be with him where he is, as he is in the Father. So are we. Our lives are hidden in Christ. So this community of cloud dwellers. Clouds are incontainable, uncontrollable. You can't direct them. They're led by the wind. You can't make them go any faster. You can't slow them down. They're determined by the wind. They're determined by each breath of the Father. And there's this glorious uniqueness in the clouds, isn't there? You can get little fluffy ones, which are great, don't get me wrong. I love fluffy clouds. We love fluffy glory and we love the fluffy presence. But what I keep seeing is this gathering of the storm clouds. Storm clouds that are heavy. They're heavy with the presence of the Father. They're getting ready to rain. They're getting ready to rain the substance of heaven on the earth. And as they do, they're bringing life. They're bringing life in the dry places. They're bringing life for the rivers to flow in the desert. Yeah. So we can be part of this cloud. It's our inheritance. Whoa! We were never supposed to be earthbound.
Yeah.
We've been made new. We're born from above. We're sons. Those are led by the Spirit, the sons of God. When you're part of the cloud, you're being led by the Spirit, led by His desires, not our own, not man's desires, not man's expectations, not man's opinions. You're being led by the winds of the Spirit, blown across the four corners of the earth. In the cloud, the least become the greatest. In the cloud, people are laying down their lives for each other in order to lift others higher. And fingerprint of the Father. They're able to carry on the outside what has been deposited on the inside. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Cloud dwellers are able to bear His image inside out. Because we can be around people, and you know, like when I lived in Australia, I was hanging out with a lot of Aussies, and I began to pick up the Australian accent, which I think was pretty cool. But my friends in England did take the mickey out of me when I went home. And so we can be around people and start to become like them from the outside in, but it doesn't make me Australian on the inside. On my DNA, I've still got English parents. But the true transformation comes from the inside out, from bearing the fingerprint of heaven, from being found in the Father, and allowing the transformation to come from the depths of who you are, for the depths of Him. By eating of Him and of drinking of Him. We need to be seeded by heaven in order to affect our surroundings. And to crush the head of the serpent. Yeah. I love the mystics of old and the desert fathers. They'd kind of cottoned on to a lot of this. They were living from above and they lived with a longing and a desire for transcendence. And When I was little, I really wanted to be a hermit. I just had this desire to go and live in the woods. I had a little pony called Dougal. And because I was starting to outgrow him, I didn't really want to sell him. So I thought if I ran away and lived in the woods with Dougal, then everything would be okay and I wouldn't have to deal with the, you know, trauma of selling my little pony. It's funny that kind of now I'm walking with the Lord, I still have that desire to go and live in the woods, and funnily enough my cabin is in the woods, and it's great to spend like the days engaging God's presence, you know, going in and out of heaven. I'd love to do that full time, but it's something that, you know, captivated the hearts of the mystics, that they chose to go a different way. They chose to, you know, retreat into the desert, like St. Anthony went, you know, out into the desert to withdraw and to spend time praying. And many people are leaving kind of church structures and church systems because they're feeling this drawing into solitude or into just engaging God's presence. But even in these desert communities, desert kind of places, like communities began to form. Even in this place of being separated, the Lord's heart is still for communities and still to have the expression of his face through people, through a living body of people, not just through individuals. Because there's a real glory and a sweetness in the secret place and of being hidden in him. But there's a far greater glory revealed through the multiple hearts that are engaging him. Part of what I've been seeing is that, you know, it is going to look different. And many of us are feeling like, you know, we know it's not going to look like it looked before. Maybe none of us know what it looks like yet, but that's okay. It just needs to bear the face of the Father. Sadhu Sundar Singh would, you know, he'd walk the mountains of the Himalayas and he'd spend his days praying. And often he wanted to be caught away to be with the Lord. But there was a greater love, and it was the love of Christ that compelled him, because he desired to lay down his life for others, just as Christ laid down his life for us. And it's that greater love, it's the higher way. It's the higher way of love, where you can choose to lay down your life for others for the fullness of his glory to be revealed. Quite a few years ago, I lived in Hong Kong, and we had a really, really precious community there. My other friends that were part of the church there, many of them were from other nations. And they'd all paid a price to be there. And we all just loved Jesus. And we just delighted in his presence. And it was through this time that I began to go into heaven and, you know, get to know the different goings on there. I started to engage the angelic and other beings. And I'd go and just spend time with the Lord and the mountains. And I'd talk to the eagles and I'd see winds start to blow and just begun to see creation react and respond to the glory of God. And it was great fun. I really loved those times with the Lord, and I'm still unravelling things that he showed me up there on the mountaintop. You know, I still have very little understanding of it all, but he's very patient and getting there slowly. But there was this great thing that when I used to come down off the mountain, I used to be able to connect with my friends, and we'd just have like spontaneous worship times in each other's flats. And often we'd be like 10 stories up, and there'd be car alarms going off in the street below us. But yet in the apartment there'd be a visible glory cloud, and there'd be this real holiness and awe of his presence. And we'd start to see crazy creative miracles. We'd see like skin grow, and oh man, we had gold dust all the time, like in Starbucks, in McDonald's. People would be falling off their chairs. It was like, yeah, come back. But in those times where we would be, in those times where we'd be worshipping and just enjoying and engaging the Lord, he began to trust us with things for the city and things for the church. And often we'd see everything that was going to happen on the following Sunday morning. We'd be participating with it. We'd be praying and covering the people. We'd be seeing the things that the Lord wanted to release. Might even be specific kinds of miracles. Different things that were affecting the nations. And we were taking those things that the Lord was showing us in a total place of hiddenness, even if it was just 3 or 4 of us gathered. And yet the Lord trusted us with some really weighty things. And we were able to pray and worship and just see those things come to pass. Even on the Sunday mornings, you know, it was such a joy to be able to celebrate and see the stuff that God had unlocked earlier on in the week. And it's great, really, really great. And I know there's people all over that are just doing very similar things. And there's a real glory that rests on that. There's a real beautiful glory that rests on those faithful acts done in hiddenness. I really honour, like, intercessors and those people that are going on behind the scenes just praying, like even like the prayer covering for us as a team for this whole trip. Like, I just really thank people like Peter, you know, who just, they really stand in the gap. And if you have a real, I don't know why I'm going here, but if you have a real heart for intercession, I really want to encourage you. You're doing great, great, great things in the kingdom. You really are. Thank you. Thanks so much. But there's a real sweetness in this cloud community, because many people feel the drawing to be alone with the Lord. But when these communities come together, there's a sensitivity and there's an honouring in other people's relationships with the Lord, even if it looks different, even if one person's way of engaging is different to your way, or Yahweh's. There's always, I shouldn't say jokes, I'm not very good at jokes, sorry. So from the heights of mystical encounters, you know, there's always got to be the practical outworking. There's the practical outworking when you begin to get trusted with things from government or education systems or, you know, healthcare systems. It's not just about having fluffy encounters, although we love the fluffy clouds, we really do. But there's a practical outworking to what the Lord's doing, because we're learning and we're growing in responsibility.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa!
Whoa! Sorry, we've got some more that have just come in. So. Just, that's great.
Whoa!
There's a reward to those that lay down their lives for his sake. The way the kingdom operates is that we die to live and live to die. Just like Justy's t-shirt. There's a price for the glory. There's a glorious price tag. It's all part of the invitation of coming into the cloud, is being willing to pay the price. And of being willing to go deeper and to go lower and to keep offering your heart, even when there's persecutions going on. How does your heart respond? Because it all flows from the place of our heart. Are we able to keep our hearts pure and refined in his fire, even when the people closest to you are saying things or accusing you or stuff's going on? The persecuted church, you know, the early church, carried a lot of glory. To bear his image comes with a price. Because we have to be willing to lay down our own image, forsake our identity, to pick up his identity. We need faith in order to live from our true identity.
Whoa!
We need faith to reveal the fullness of what he's given us through Christ, through what Christ did for us. It's a process of maturity which comes through surrender. Will we forsake every piece of data of our identity for his DNA? Sometimes it can just be in simple choices of stepping aside and allowing His glory to be revealed. Where we might not need recognition for something or even put our name to something. There's this awesome quote, I said it yesterday actually when a few of us got together, but it had such a massive effect on me. It was by a guy called Leonard Ravenhill. And he said, "I'm looking for something so majestic that no man dare put his name on it. And if he did, he'd die." Boom! Boom to the celebrity. Thank you, Lord. So yeah, all it takes is for our hearts to make a decision to come into agreement, agreement with His promises, and then activate the faith to see it come into fruition. Because every promise in Him is yes and amen. I wish it was like a matter of steps, but it's a process, and we're all at different places on the journey. It would be a lot simpler if we were all at the same place, but he likes to make it a bit different, because he likes us to help each other through our issues. And sometimes when you've journeyed through something, you've overcame, and that you're carrying a strength to bring others into liberty in that area. Other people that may be way in a different place to you in your kingdom journey, maybe they've overcome in something that you totally fail in. There's often a way how hardships and persecutions can help us deal with these issues too. It's not because God's cruel, but these ways are like a fast track into the glory. They're to be embraced and treasured. Because they give us opportunities to refine our hearts and to have a pure place for His glory to rest. We embrace the fire and we run into it wholeheartedly. If we harden our hearts and fail to surrender to these issues through repentance, then they link us to the fallen fingerprint, a fingerprint of corruption, a fingerprint that the serpent seed left on us. We don't want those little links. We don't want the hooks in our character or our soul. Like Jason Westerfield said, that insecurities are an open gateway to witchcraft.
Wow.
I don't want any open gateways to witchcraft in me, thank you very much. So, Lord, I gladly give you my insecurities. I continually keep offering them up on the altar of sacrifice, because we don't want anything hindering us. We don't want anything getting in the way of His glory being revealed through us as living gateways of His presence. Oh, I'm getting really drunk now. We don't want to be linked to the fallen fingerprint. We don't want to be linked to any kind of fragrance of corruption, because all that does is attract flies. We don't like flies. I can't stand flies. Those areas, like even carrying that fragrance of corruption, is like dropping a drop of blood in shark-infested water.
Wow.
Makes you totally vulnerable to the enemy. So the most courageous thing to do is to offer every offence. Offer those question marks, offer the little accusation things that whispering familiars that ramble away in your ears. Come and bring them into the fire as well. They soon stop bothering you because they turn to toast. Some of these things are just like, you know, some of them maybe we've inherited. Sometimes we don't even know why we are the way that we are. But we can still embrace it and apply his blood and allow his DNA,
come on, his DNA
to overlay and force out the other stuff. It might sound really foundational, this stuff, and it is, but it's wrapped up in the gospel, it's wrapped up in him. And as we walk out that revelation of being wrapped up in him and, you know, looking like our dad in heaven, we begin to get trusted with the things of discipling nations. Because discipling nations is just baby stuff, isn't it? It says that's what the disciples were trusted with, you know, and they weren't experts. They didn't hang out with Jesus for that long. They just freely embrace his identity. When we try and build an identity for ourselves to attain to godlikeness, when we try and build and establish our own identities, be that based on a church movement or a job or family or celebrity, then we actually become the idol, building our own little empire. It's just an empire that demands others to serve it instead of being the servant of all.
Whoa!
It takes responsibility and courage to persevere and to overcome. But are we willing to pay that price to walk in the glory? Does it mean that much to us that we're willing to lay down everything for him? For his reward is with him.
Yeah.
With each victory, heaven is rejoicing. And with each victory, we're being conformed to his image. Without even realizing it, as our spirits and our souls become aligned, if it begins to have an effect on our physical body, and we begin to manifest this freedom outwardly, the glory and the light that he's placed in us begins to be revealed outwardly in and through us. It is a process, and sometimes in those darkest moments is when he is preparing you to shine. Have faith to overcome because he overcame. We can shine with the day star that is Christ, of Christ in you, the hope of glory. It has begun. I'm not just making this up, it is in the Bible as well. Jesus, you're lovely. Yeah. Oh, wow. This wasn't what I was going to read, but it's still really good. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as nothing, as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call, man, the upward call is the low road.
The upward call.
Yeah. Okay, so this is what I was really going to read. It's about a glorious body, and it's in 1 Corinthians. Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies.
Wow.
It goes on to speak about celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies.
Oh.
Yeah, it does. It says that right here. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Heavenly and earthly bodies, right? There is one glory of the sun, another of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. I'm speaking to the cloud community here. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption.
Whoa.
Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Wow. It's quite exciting when you start to read it and the Lord starts to take you a bit deeper to how you've read things before. Are we ready to lay down and to hand over even our physical identity? In order to walk in the presence and the depth of his glory, are we willing to go to the depths in order to be laid out as a foundation for him to tabernacle? He wants to establish his foundations so that he can place his feet on us as the governmental Mount of Olives, his anointed ones. He loves to stretch us out of our comfort zones, out of everything that we've been used to experiencing, even of God, even the boxes that we placed him in. He loves to stretch us out of those places. So tonight, even in that, is like an opportunity to offer up every bit of where we've been satisfied, where we've been satisfied and how we've always done things, where we've been satisfied in the mediocrity of church life, of just general family life, where it's fallen well below the bar of what Jesus died for, what he gave his life for. It's an exciting time for Australia and for Melbourne, and it was a cool word that Justy brought earlier. I saw the angel over Melbourne and it had a handkerchief in its mouth and it was gagged. And I felt the Lord say that he wanted to give the voice back to Melbourne and it's going to Melbourne is going to begin to speak into the nation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that whatever is born of you overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, Lord. Our faith. Thank you, Father, for your faith-filled ones in this room. Thank you, Lord, that they're going to begin to become your voice out of this city into the land. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He said to me a while ago that he was placing nations in my heart and cities in my hands. And I saw nations coming to roost, like in my heart, like birds were going to a nest. I saw nations come fly up from the earth, and they've begun to just find a house in my heart. And the heart is a place where you love and nurture and you cherish, and you know, it's the life source of where you are and what you speak and what you become. And the cities that you placed in my hand, he spoke about these cities being things that you can affect and how you can like help them into the places where God wants them to be, and you can begin to change things and feed and nurture. I'm feeling this for Australia. I'm really feeling this for this land. When I lived here, there was some things that I found really difficult, and it was a massive journey of me dying whilst I was here. There's loads of opportunities to bring stuff to the altar. And it was great. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for those two years, because it was just a wonderful, glorious, condensed boot camp of being in the glory. And it was a real privilege. I thank you, Australia. I really do. I thank you and I honour this land. And during one time, I was just wanting to give up and I was just wanting to run away. And I went out and just spent some time with the Lord in Centennial Park in Sydney. And I was sobbing and I was weeping, and the Lord said, lie down. And I felt a bit of an idiot, because I was thinking, what if people start walking through Centennial Park? They might think I've been murdered or something. So I just carried on walking, and I was starting to try and make a deal with the Lord that I'd lie down once I got home. But he said, no, lie down. So I lay down in the undergrowth. I did check to see nobody else was around first. But as I lay down, the moment I lay down on the ground, the Lord said, feel my heartbeat for this land. And I got sucked into the song lines and the colours, and I felt his very heart for this land, and I began to weep and weep, and my tears went into the ground. And the Lord said, every tear that you've sown here, you will reap in joy.
Wow. Yes.
Come on. So I thank you, Australia. Wow. I thank you. Tozer said, what the soul agony does is break up the fallow ground, empty the vessel, detach the heart from the earthly interests, and focus the attention upon God. All that has gone before is by way of soul preparation for the divine act of infilling. The infilling itself is not a hard thing. Tozer then goes on to invite you to surrender, to ask, to obey, and to believe. Yeah, Lord, help us to detach our heart from the earthly and focus our attention upon you. Because when our attention is focused on him, we have a grace to endure, we have a grace to persevere. It says in James that, you know, him who endures temptation, him who endures persecutions, to him is given a crown of life.
Wow. Crown of life.
earlier on this year, I was in Germany, and I had a wonderful time. I was invited to a YWAM base there, and the YWAM base was at a place where the Moravian Revival started. A really glorious place. I was so stoked that, I mean, I didn't know anything about this before I went there. It was just a little Jehovah sneaky, really. Yeah. I turned up there and these dear girls started telling me about the history of the place. And I was just overwhelmed because there was this amazing move of God came out of a place of a baptism of unity, really. There was all different people then from many different nations, and they began to pray together. And their fervency and their passion for the Lord and for his purposes and for laying down their lives was just incredible. And even now, going there, there is such an open heaven. Like, there's just such a tangible, open presence there. Just we began to pray. We went up into this high place where the Moravians used to pray. And just a small group of us, there was four of us, and we began to pray up there and reopen an everlasting door over the region to see his glory come in. And before we did that, the Lord said there was a price for doing this. And man, I battled with my health when I was there. There was such like kind of opposition, and there was a price to pay really for being there. When I was sharing the sessions with the students, I was physically so ill I could hardly stand up. But his grace was sufficient, and I was able to bring messages outside of myself. I couldn't do it in my own strength. And in between sessions, I'd go back to my room and literally just lie on the floor. I had like sinus infection, a tooth abscess, throat infection. I wasn't a happy bunny. But his grace was sufficient, and the level of glory that he poured out at that base was amazing. You know, we did a fire tunnel, and they didn't know what a fire tunnel was. So anyway, we did a fire tunnel, and it took about three goes before they kind of like realised that, okay, this is okay, this woman's not a mad woman, and it's all okay. And then they just started to hit the deck, and one lady was stuck to the floor for hours outside in this marquee. Nobody could move her. She was just vibrating in the presence. They didn't even know this stuff was, you know, was possible. It was glorious. People were just coming into the fires of God. Oh, it was wonderful. And it was a real privilege to have sown into their lives, because they themselves are all from different nations. And it felt like, again, it just felt like a really significant thing that happened there. The Moravians carried such a fervency that they would even sell themselves into slavery in order to go to these far-off islands to witness to people. It's that extreme. That is laying your life down. And it, you know, it wasn't fun back in the day either. They were just put on a boat. But to willingly sell yourself into slavery for the higher purpose, for the upward call. To go lower for the upward call.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Oh, my legs have come back now. No, sorry. Wow. Jesus. Yeah. Matters of the heart and of integrity and purity need to be outworked, so that his pure stream flows through an unoffendable heart. Because it's with these hearts that he's trusting the weight of the universe, really. There's so much that he's so excited about drawing us into. Are we willing to sacrifice our own dignity to exalt him? Because this isn't about the trials, it's about the crowns of the overcomers. Because these crowns of life, we get to offer as worship before him. Don't you want a crown? Don't you want to offer him everything? I felt the Lord give me something specifically for the land. I've been really praying about it, and yeah, I feel that tonight's the time to to release it and to speak it into the land, if that's okay. I am taking you on the path of impossibilities, Australia. Life in places of death. I will cause you to walk on the heights and even in the most difficult terrain. I am the one who will strengthen, lead and guide you. I will strengthen and hold fast your feet that they will not slip, and hold your ankles that they will be firm. I will lead you on the path of impossibility, that my name be glorified through your life. Australia, you shall breathe my life breath in the high altitudes where others may lack oxygen. You shall breathe my life breath in the depths of the waters where others would be overwhelmed. For you thrive in impossibility.
Yeah.
My rod and my staff comfort you, and I will lead you, for I am faithful. Do not fear, but be bold and have courage. Walk confidently, for your confidence is in me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So don't be enslaved by man-pleasing burdens or yokes. Walk in my grace by faith. Have faith despite what circumstances seem to be. Have faith regardless. Have my perspective and keep moving into what I have for you. Every moment that you gaze into the promises, they are increasing, expanding and multiplying. As you gaze in faith, the promise increases. Faith activates this promise and sees the manifestations of dreams in this dreamtime land. As you persevere, you receive my crown of life, the life that you will release to other nations. As you die to live, your generosity will be famous, and the hope that you bring breathes life into the hopeless. Blessed are you, Australia Fair, beloved of the Lord, belonging to the Father. But he who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. Australia, I just speak the sealing of sonship over you today. I speak a restoration of the dreamtime glory. I speak an awakening of the ancient times. That the fullness of the Father's glory be revealed through this place and into the nations. On the earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.